So today I want to do a couple of things. Last week I talked about strongholds, and we're going to go there in just a minute. But Hunter, do you play the video? Now, look, this is a political season. Carolyn, what you want, the election season? I don't know. You should be election day, but it's actually a season. So, ever how you feel about that? I'm not telling you how to vote. I'm just going to show you something on the screen that I didn't come up with. I didn't say it. But it's from the candidate. So if you'll play, it's a couple, 2 or 3 minutes. So, amen.
Eddie, I want to play two clips as we start this morning's show. It happened over the weekend. Kamala Harris was at a rally, and also J.D. Vance was at a rally as well. But I want you to hear the difference in their affection or their faith or their belief in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because in the first clip, you're going to hear a video of some young people, some young Christians, who shouted at a Kamala Harris rally, "Jesus is Lord." And Kamala Harris says, "Hey, you're at the wrong rally." And then we're going to play a second clip where J.D. Vance, some people at the rally yelled, "Christ is King." And J.D. Vance says, "Yes, he is. Christ is King." So I want you to hear the difference from these two administrations running for the highest office in the country, what Kamala Harris, the contempt and disdain she has for Jesus, and then I want you to hear J.D. Vance, the love and the faith and respect he has for Jesus Christ. Mr. Engineer, can you play the first clip and then the second clip?
And again, we're not going to be gaslighted on this. We remember Donald Trump hand-selected 3 members of the United States Supreme Court. With the intention that they would undo the protections of Roe v. Wade, and they did as he intended. Oh, you guys are at the wrong rally.
See, somebody yelled, "Jesus is Lord." 2 young men yelled, "Jesus is Lord," right now. She said, "You're at the wrong rally."
No, I think you meant to go to the smaller one down the street.
She meant to say is, at this rally, we don't say Jesus is Lord, nor do we believe that. If you want to say Jesus is Lord, go to the Trump rally. That's what she meant to say.
As a person who was baptized for the first time just a few years ago, there is something really bizarre with Kamala Harris's anti-Christian rhetoric and anti-Christian approach to public policy. That's right, Jesus is King. And I don't think that we've seen... think that we've seen anything like this in modern American politics. You saw this video that Gretchen Whitmer, we know Gretchen Whitmer is, she's the governor of Michigan. That's right, I agree.
I'm not telling you how to vote. I want to tell you this, though, that policies, see, it is said that when you elect a president, that 5,000 people in his administration, that's how many it takes in his administration, will go to Washington and implement policies not of that one person, please don't be confused, of what that platform stands for. 5,000 people in all kind of strategic places. Doesn't sound a whole lot, like a whole lot of people when you're talking about 340 or 50 million in America. But when they're in the right places, it's huge. Policies will outlive personalities. Listen to what I said. Policies will outlive personalities. I'm going to give you an example. I'm going to say a word, and every one of you are going to know, and it's been at least 8 years since this person's been in office, Obamacare. Do you know who I'm talking about? Some say Obamacare. I'm just giving you a word. I could use many things. That's outlived his place, his 8 years in the White House. by 8 years and still going on. Obamacare is still in place. You see where I'm getting with this? Policies outlive personalities. Please don't say, well, I can't vote because, they're neither one of them good. Well, neither are you. I hope you don't get to vote on me because we're gone tomorrow. This is the last day for me. You're voting on a president to run the country. You are not voting, hear me out, you are not voting for a pastor. It'd be great if they were both Christians and, man, they were so great and so tit for tat that they were so perfect, but they're not. They're politicians. Well, one of them's a politician. One of them doesn't care to be. He's just rich. Come on, somebody. Amen. Can't buy him. That's the problem with them. Love you. Amen. Let's move on. I am not your enemy. Amen. I just tell you what, look, they told you what they said. I didn't tell it. They produced that video. I didn't. I'm telling you, Jesus is Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Hey, last week I talked about strongholds in your life. And the things about strongholds, and man, that was great. Today we're going to talk about knowing your enemy, because your enemy causes strongholds. Y'all can't see that, can you? Can I get a couple of guys to help me set this up here? Or a couple of ladies, doesn't matter, I mean. I don't care. Amen. Okay, that may be better for some of you that were over on the sides. Maybe. So I want to talk about some things. I don't know what's going on behind me, but I'm not turning around to find out. Well, I never was really good at penmanship, and I sure wasn't on a board, you know. So I'll explain everything. So knowing your enemy, I'm gonna be brief today. Ha ha. To know your enemy, you must know who the enemy is. And so today I want to talk about identifying your enemy. But I also want you to know that there's already been an end to your enemy. And this is cool. So in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, most of you know this, after the fall of Adam, God shows up and he's kind of aggravated with old Adam and Eve, and he gives them a penalty, each one of them, and he gives the serpent, Satan, a penalty. But this is where you and I come in. That'd be great if it was just limited to them, but it's not. It filters on down to you and I. Genesis 3:15 says, "And I will put enmity between you and the woman." He is talking to Satan, the serpent. That's who he's talking to. And he says, "And I'm going to put this between you, the woman, and between your seed and her seed." That means just not between you and her, but your seed and their seed, to continue on. And it says, "And you shall bruise his head, and he shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." That right there just gives me all kind of happiness and joy, that the best he can do is nibble at my heel. Come on. But the least I get to do is stand on his head. Come on, some of you got this thing backwards. Some of you believing that he's standing on your head. That's not the way this thing reads. So right off the bat, I know I'm already going to win. I've already got my enemy defeated. So right here, where we are today is the church age. That's now. That's where you live. You're dealing with the sin of Adam. The Bible's very clear about that. Through one man, sin came into the world. So we're very clear that this is the church age. The next thing to happen, now look, we can debate. We're not going to debate it today. We can talk and debate about whether you think rapture comes first or tribulation or mid-tribulation. That's not my message today, okay? What I'm going to tell you, either one of these will work in either place. But so we believe in the rapture is going to come next, okay? So the rapture, so we're here. The next thing to happen prophetically is that the rapture of the church where the saints are called away to be with Christ. Now, he's not coming back to earth at this point. This is a rapture of the people, the dead in Christ and those that are alive. The rapture. Then what happens is a tribulation, 7 years of tribulation, 3.5 good. The first 3.5 is good. The second 3.5 are bad. So we have a tribulation period. Then after that, the second coming of Christ. When he comes back to earth, that's the second coming. Don't get it confused with the rapture because it's not. And I may preach on some more of these later. I don't have time to go into each area today, but I'm giving you a timeline. Then after the second coming of Christ, there's a millennial reign. That's 1,000 years man, it's going to be awesome. There won't be a devil around to bother anybody. Come on, somebody. Amen. Now, guess what? Now, you're already good because you rapture take place over here. You're good. It's these people that, I'll get to it in a minute. I'll get ahead of myself. Then after the millennial reign, 1,000 years, there's a new heaven and a new earth that's going to come down. This place is going to be awesome. It's going to, the old earth that we see it as we know it will be burned up, and there'll be a new heaven and a new earth. And then after that, we'll be eternity. Well, you know what I forgot to put in here, and I'm so sorry. So in between the new heaven and this new earth and eternity, there's a great white throne judgment right there. And I'm sorry, I read over that 3 or 4 times. And as I'm going through this, I'm thinking, well, Marty, you're missing something. And that's it. So, hallelujah. I never wanted to be a school teacher. And I still don't. Great white throne judgment, then eternity with Christ forever. Amen. So we'll go through some of these. Look, I'm not a prophecy preacher. I'm really not talking about prophecy this morning. I'm giving you a timeline. I want you to know your enemy, that your enemy, I'm going to go ahead and give you a spoiler alert, he's been defeated. Amen. Quit letting him hang around your house. Quit trying to give him a place at your house. Quit trying to set him up a room in your house. Quit trying to give him space in your mind or in your heart or in your existence. He's defeated already. Why do you want to hang around somebody that's defeated? You shouldn't, all right? So in Revelation chapter 12... Verse 13 says, now the dragon saw that he had been cast to earth and persecuted, and he persecuted the woman who gave birth to the male child. I'm going to explain some of this in a minute. Revelation 12:17 says, and the dragon was enraged with the woman. Now, the woman here, don't get confused with being Mary, Christ's mother. The woman here really signifies the church. Okay, because watch. And the dragon was enraged with the woman, and he went to make war with the rest of her offspring who kept the commandments of God and have a testimony of Jesus Christ. Now, if you read this and you put it in 100% context and you don't take anything out of that and that's it, you will find that this happens, and the reference is to, primarily is to the millennial reign. But you also know that the Bible is full of types and shadows and symbols. And so you can look at this also and say, all right, you can back this all the way up to Genesis. That's why I read Genesis 3:15. You can back this up to Genesis chapter 3, and you can say, who had enmity between Satan and the woman? Well, there was enmity, but to whom? And the offspring. We read it, remember? Enmity means extreme hatred. The devil is not in love with you. The devil does not want good things for you. The devil does not have great plans for you. But we read the Bible where Jesus does have good plans for you, and they're to bring you to a good end, okay? And so we see that there's two forces fighting for your soul. Isn't that amazing? If you think you're worthless, Satan and God's fighting for your soul today, this very moment. If you don't know Jesus, they're fighting for your soul today, right now. That's amazing. The two, now not that the devil is anywhere close to God. But the two greatest forces in the world, God being the most, I want to make that clear. the two greatest forces are fighting for your soul. That's amazing. You mean little old me down here in little Southeast Arkansas? The two greatest forces in the world are after my soul? Absolutely. That's amazing. That's good stuff. You ought to be rejoicing right there. So I want to talk to you on three occasions where Satan was defeated, has been defeated. Let's say was and is going to be. So first of all, the first fall of Satan that we read is in Isaiah 14:12. Says, how are you falling from heaven, O Lucifer? If you're wondering who he's talking about, it's pretty clear, right? The son of the morning. How are you cut down to the ground, you who weaken the nations? For you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mountain of the congregation on the farthest sides of the north. Verse 14, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds and I will be like the Most High. This is basically what Satan's declaration was. He wanted to be like God. If you want to know what the sin was that got Satan kicked out of heaven, it was pride. If you have a prideful spirit, you better get a hold of that thing. You better bring every thought of pride, as the Bible says, bring every thought captive that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Pride in your life, there's nothing wrong with having some holy pride and being prideful and looking nice and those kind of things. But when there gets into, there's this deceitful pride, and you better get a handle on it, whoever you are. I deal with pride. Little things crop up in my mind, and I put it to rest right then. I'll tell a story. Some of you got a lot of new people. A few years ago, Jason and I, we were in Harbor Freight. Come on, man. Come on, somebody. Ooh, glory to God. There'd be a Harbor Freight in heaven. Oh, wait a minute. We ain't got to work on nothing in heaven. Man. Minus the music, David. And we were in Harbor Freight, and we were, what was we buying? Something. A drill press. Big drill press. Had it on sale. And We went to check out, and we got up there, and you know, everybody asks you now. I'm waiting for them to ask you about warranty on underwear. You can get warranty on everything now. Daniel, I mean warranty on everything you can get warranty. But we went through the line, and she said, would you like to have a warranty? I said, no, ma'am, I have enough money to buy another. In fact, it goes out. Wasn't that much. And the Holy Spirit, man, just poof. Jason's here. Before I got to the truck, I had to repent, did I not? I turned to him and I said, that was wrong. That was pride. That's pride. That was a pride. Rather, you said, well, that's nothing, Pastor. Maybe not for you, but it was for me. And so we got to deal with pride. When they come up, you deal with it right now. Don't let it get a root. Don't let it lay down next to you. Don't go home with it. Don't let it go home with you. Come on. You got to deal with some of these things right now, because that's how your enemy gets the stronghold, starts in there and grabs you and goes home with you. And next thing you know, you gave him a pet name. And then next, guess what happens? And you start justifying why you can do what you do. Just because you can justify what you do does not mean God's okay with it. Amen. So pride was what got Satan kicked out of heaven. Verse 14, it says, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. And this is the response from God. You shall be brought down to Sheol, which is the literal word for hell, to the lowest depths of the pit. You can also read, just for the sake of time, you can also read Ezekiel 28:11, gives you a description of how beautiful and how awesome Satan was, Lucifer. What? The Bible says that he was created perfect. Perfect. Till what? He sinned. You got an enemy that's after your soul. You better learn how to deal with him, because he is relentless. He has trained for 2,000 years. He is in tip-top shape spiritually. He knows the word better than you. He was in the beginning. He was a created being. He was with God. He has been in the presence of God I'm telling you, he comes fully armed, fully loaded. His guns are loaded. He's got plenty of ammunition for you. Don't think you can outsmart him, because you won't. You can't even outbelieve him. The only thing that gets you above your enemy is putting your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and knowing that you're blood bought by the Son of God who came to redeem us from our sins. So first fall was when Satan fell as an archangel from heaven. The second fall of Satan, from having access to heaven. During the millennial reign, he has no access. Do you know that Satan has access now to heaven? I didn't say he lived in heaven. He has access to heaven. Job chapter 1, verse 6, it's not on there, guys. And Job chapter 2, verse 5 will give you a great explanation on the access that Satan has. Remember, God asked him, "What are you doing, Satan?" He said, "Oh, I'm walking to and fro in the earth, seeking whom I may devour." But right before that, he says, there was a day when the sons of God came before God and Satan came also. On those two different occasions, what was he doing? He was going there to be what? An accuser of the brethren. You know, when Satan shows up and talks to God, or they have this conversation, do you understand he's not up there telling him all the good things you've done? He's not saying, you know, they're pretty faithful at tithing. They're pretty faithful at going. You know, they didn't even cuss the other day when they smashed his finger. He done pretty good. You know what he's saying? You know. They had that thought when they smashed their finger. They wanted to cuss. He comes up, he'll twist it everything, just like the media does today. President Reagan said this. He was speaking several years ago, and he was at a lake, and the bat was to his leg, and, you know, he was such a sharp orator. And he said, if I walked across this lake on top of the water and started speaking here at this podium, the media would twist it and say, you know, President Reagan, he can't swim. You know, that's what the devil does to you. He tells you that and you believe it. He tells you that and it gets in your head and you start thinking that. You start, oh, you know, that's right, I'm not that good. Well, you're right. But in Christ you are. In Christ you are righteous. In Christ you have become whole. You become new. I'm not who I used to be. Got the same body. I may have some of the same mannerisms, but I'm a new creation according to Christ. Amen. I'm not the old man. So there's this second fall of Satan from having access to heaven, Revelation 12, 7. Then war broke out in heaven. Come on, somebody. Somebody in heaven fighting. Glory to God. It broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. That's when you hear dragon, serpent, devil, Lucifer, that is talking about Satan. The dragon and his angels also fought. If you could see in the spirit realm, there's a battle going on for your soul. There's a battle going on for your well-being. There's a battle going on against your stuff, against your things. The Bible says in Malachi 3:10, when you tithe, he'll rebuke the devourer. Do you know the devil's after your stuff? Why? Because we love our stuff, and we get our stuff taken away, then we get disappointed in God that he didn't give us more stuff. See, this ain't big. I wish I had weeks. I guess I do, don't I? Unless you get rid of me. Watch this. So the dragon and his angels also fought. There's a comma. It's the next verse, but it's a continued sentence, and it says this. But he could not prevail.
Amen.
Woo! I'm about thinking about it. I'm going to take a lap. He could not prevail. Watch this. And it says this. And there was no place for them in heaven any longer.
Amen.
This during the millennial reign, right here. You get to hear, this is great. We're already in heaven. I'm giving you some things that's happening. You got to know that he's been defeated, because you're dealing with some things now, because we're in the church age. We're right now where he's still loosed to do whatever he wants to in your life. The good thing about us, if you put your faith in Christ, when the rapture happens, you're in heaven. Glory to God. Not the new heaven. You're just with Christ. Call it what you want to. I'm going to call it heaven. Amen. It's a better place than where we are. So the great dragon was thrown out. Yes, that's the woo I was looking for. How did, I wish they had a movie scene in heaven. Was it a, get out. What was it, just, gone. Get out. I mean, I don't know. All I know is that he was defeated. Amen. Come on, somebody. The ancient serpent, and because if you were wondering if we're talking about the devil, he wants to make it very clear that he's talking about him. He says, so that great dragon was thrown out, the ancient serpent who is called the devil and Satan, the one who deceives the whole world. He was thrown to earth and his angels with him. Glory to God. Now, here's the sidekick to that. He's here now, too. So, in the millennial reign, he's it's different than now, but he's still here right now. He's thrown to earth. Guess who deals with him? Heaven don't deal with him. You got to know your enemy. Then I heard a loud voice, verse 10. Then I heard a loud voice in heaven say, the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have now come, because the accuser of the brethren and sisters who accused them before God, before our God day and night, has been thrown down. Satan in the millennial reign will not have the access to accuse you in front of God. Or accuse anyone. We're going to be there, so it won't matter. You know, you're like, if he starts talking about you, you say, hey, I'm already here, dude. Pick somebody else. You know those awkward moments when you're talking about somebody and you know you shouldn't and it's not that good? And you look over the shoulder, you see them standing right there. Anybody ever been that? Now, don't lie. Everybody been there? Yeah, buddy. That's what it's going to be with Satan. He's going to look up and say, oh, that's going to be cool. Because he's not going to expect me to be there. Because he's believed everything that I used to be. But what he didn't really believe, that I was blood-bought, born-again, child of the King. That's where he missed it. Amen? Let me hurry. Verse 11, they conquered him. And here's how you conquer the devil now, and here's how they're going to conquer him then. How do you know that this is the same? Because the devil is a created being. He can't change. He's just the same. He got the same tricks. There are three of them. John 10 and 10 lists the three trickeries, the three ideologies, the three methods to kill, steal, and destroy. That's what he's after. He's after to destroy you, to steal from you, and to kill you if necessary, preferably the last, so he don't have to do the first two. It takes too long. Amen? Do you know you're his enemy? He'd just soon see you dead as have to deal with you. Come on, somebody. It's good stuff. Well, that's good stuff. Since they conquered him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, for they did not love their lives to the point of death. This is how we know that this is primarily talking about the saints that will come out of the millennial reign. There will be people that get saved during the millennial reign. Another message altogether, but during the millennial reign, that's going to be 1,000 years, people having babies. What? I thought this thing was over. No. We're out of here as Christians. Then during this, Christ, then this millennial reign, 1,000 years, Satan is bound in a pit, a bottomless pit. He's got chains on him in a pit. He can't do anything during 1,000 years. That tells me right now he can only do what God allows. I'm going to take it a step further and mess your theology up. Most of the time, 99% of the time, Satan can only do what you allow him to do in your life. Amen. Right. Amen. Glory to God. Verse 12, therefore, Rejoice, you heavens, and you who dwell in them. That would be us because we're there right now. He's saying, rejoice, you that are in heaven, okay? He says, rejoice in heaven. Woe to the earth and the sea because the devil has come down to you with great fury because he knows his time is short. Now, if you look at it, he says, that's where the type and saddles and symbols come in. We know that we're out of there, but at the same time, he's been cast down to the earth, and they're saying not that he's reigning, not that he's bringing a holy terror for 1,000 years. Woe to you, because you still got to deal with him one more time. He's in bondage, he's in chains, but you're going to have to deal with him one more time. Oh, you that are in the earth. We don't have to deal with him anymore. Praise God. That's why. Get ready. Go to first trip. Don't worry about the second one. There might not be a space for you on the second one. You might not make it. Come on. If it's hard for you to make it now, it's going to be real hard for you to make it when the presence of God's gone. But you can. You'll be able to. Just easier to go now. Amen. David, what did you say one time? Lord, if we're going through something hard, let me get it so we can get on through it. Don't have to stay here long. Why would we want to prolong heaven? I don't know. Revelation 20, verse 1. Then I saw an angel coming down from heaven, having the key. This is where we know that Satan is in the bottomless pit, okay? Then I saw an angel coming down from heaven, having the key to the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. He laid hold of the old dragon, the serpent of old, who is the devil and Satan. I just love it when he talks to dumb people like me. He just over and over. You got to get Satan, is the devil, is the serpent. He's the, all those, okay? And he says, and he bound him for 1,000 years. What? 1,000 years, a millennial reign. He bound him with what? Chains is what he says. He says he has the key to the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. He bound him up. And he cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up. And he set a seal on him so that he should not deceive the nations no more till 1,000 years were finished. But after these, he must be released for a little while. You tracking with me? There's 1,000-year millennial reign that Satan cannot hinder people. That's cool. Doesn't make me any difference. I'm in heaven. Whether the rapture takes here or right there, I'm still not here. Come on, somebody. Let me put you to rest. So that's the second one where he can no longer have access to heaven. He's in the bottom pit. Third and final fall of Satan, your enemy, is after the millennial reign, after the 1,000 years. That's going to be over here between new heaven and my addition here, my addendum, the great white throne judgment, okay, before eternity. Revelation 20, verse 7 says this, now when 1,000 years have expired, Satan will be released from his prison. Where was he at? In a bottomless pit. Because why? God said, go there. Amen. Y'all just missed a great, great hallelujah moment. Because see, when God says something, it's done. If God can command him then, he can command him now. If God can take care of him then, he can take care of you now. If God has authority, then he's got authority now. He either does have authority or he doesn't have it. And I'm here to tell you that he has authority. Amen. Amen. And we'll, verse 8, and will go out to deceive the nations which are in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, whose number is as the sand of the sea. And they went upon the breadth of the earth and surrounded the camp of the saints and the beloved city. And fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. Somewhere in here, there's somebody got saved. There's some saints here and a beloved city that they're dwelling in. I don't know all the details. No one really does. But there's a place where there's some saints gathered up. And he's going to be loose. Satan's going to be, Jesus, God is going to go down and take the chains, take the seal off of him, and he's going to be loosed to go and try to deceive the nations. Why is that? Are you ready? If you're into free will, I'm fixing to bust your bubble. Because You have free will to choose him or not choose him. And when he's not around, there's no choice. But when he's around, there's a choice. When the devil's around, there's a choice to do good and to do evil. And you're not puppets. You do have a free will. So you've got to have the ability. These people in the millennial reign have to have the ability to choose to exercise free will. Come on, somebody. So they get this privilege of being where we've been. Now, I don't know how long that's going to last. It said for a short season. If you're here, you can find out. Or ask me when we get to heaven. I'll let you know, okay? Amen? Some of y'all missed that altogether. Verse 10 says, the devil who deceived them. At this point, this is the final reckoning with Satan forever. Come on, somebody. The devil who deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone. So he was in a bottomless pit. He's been removed to deceive people. Now at the end of this deceptive period, ever how long, the Bible's not, doesn't tell us how long that's, 1 year, 6 months, 20 years, 100, it doesn't say. Says, who deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and the false prophet are. You can go back and find out that they got cast there with him and was put in chains, only he was released. And watch this. This is what I love. And they will be tormented day and night for a season. How long? Forever. And if you're wondering how long forever was, add another ever to it. Forever and ever. Do you understand? Your enemy that you allow to control so much of your life has been defeated already. I mean, it's written in the book. Pastor, it's hard for me. I didn't say it wasn't hard. I struggle every day. But I know whose I am. Come on, somebody. I know who paid a ransom for me. I know that I'm on my way to heaven, even in the middle of my stuff, even in the middle of when I don't feel like I'm saved, I'm still saved. Anybody ever felt like you wasn't saved? Okay, there was two people. The rest of y'all liars. Let's try it again. You ever felt like you wasn't saved? If you don't feel that way, come live with me a little bit. I have an ability to make you feel like you ain't saved. Come on, somebody, ask my family. Just being honest, come on. If my wife's shaking her head right now. Ronnie, is my wife shaking her head? You ain't saying nothing, are you? Ronnie's saying, nothing. I can't even see that far. Good answer. All of them? Amen. At least I'm consistent. Come on, you guys, hey, amen. I'm going to close with this. You must know your enemy. You must know his trickery, his deceptions, his devices. The devil don't always make you do things. You do them. Do you understand the devil can't make you do one thing? Oh, preacher, I don't know. Wait a minute. If God won't make you do anything, his creation can't make you do anything. Think about it. If God won't make you do anything, and he won't make you do anything, he won't make you love him, serve him, he won't make you do anything. If God won't make you, then his creation cannot make you do it. It's impossible. Know your enemy. Why are you in a stronghold? I know I'm going back to that. Why are you in a stronghold? What decisions have you made? Well, are there decisions made that got you there? Yeah, but I don't like them anymore and I want to change. Amen. Go to the Lord with this and say, Lord, I need you to help me in this. And then obey what he says. You can all get out of anything. I promise you, you can get out of anything. If you choose. I used to say this all the time and I'll continue to say, whatever you're passionate about, you will eventually catch. If you're passionate about getting out of your stronghold and breaking it, you'll get out of it. Amen. If you're passionate about committing sin, guess what? You'll get there. Come on, somebody. So you need to know this about your enemy. You've already won. Amen. Do you hear me? You have already won. It may not feel like it today, but you've already won. With Christ on your side, how can you lose? Amen. You can't. Amen. If you'll stand with me across this building. Well, no, I want to do, can I do something different? Just sit back down. Sit back down. You sit back down, Mr. Omar. I pull a trick on everybody. I just. Amen. There's two things I want to do when we close, or as we close. One, I want to ask this question. Can I get some music, somebody? Some honey? Two things I want to do. Number one is, if you don't know Jesus, what are you waiting on? You know you're going to be deceived, right? That's one of the goals of Satan, is to deceive you. You will be deceived. If you don't know him today, why do we wait? You're not promised tomorrow. You're not promised this afternoon. You're not promised, well, when I get this situation handled in my life, you're never going to get it handled. If you do, there'll be another one and another one. Turn to Jesus today while there is time. There's coming a time, I'm telling you, there's coming a time after the rapture of the church that's going to be very, very, very difficult for you to come to know him. Amen. His presence and his mercy and his grace is so much alive right now. I believe there's going to be a limited amount of mercy and grace in the millennial reign, or you couldn't come to him. Now, you can't say that in the Bible, but we know without God's mercy and his presence pulling you, you can't get saved. Come on, somebody. So I believe there's going to be somewhat there, but it's not going to be like it is today. This is the first trip. Get ready on the first go around. Young people, if you don't know him, today is the day. Don't wait till you graduate high school. Don't wait till you go sow your wild oats. Today is the day to get saved, to get right with Jesus. Because you don't know about tomorrow. You're not guaranteed tomorrow. You're only guaranteed right now, and he can stop in your next breath. If you don't know him, come to know him today. Come to know him today. With every head bowed and every eye closed, just everybody still sitting. Pastor, I want to know Jesus as my Savior. Pastor, I want to know him. I want him to come in my heart. I want him to live. I don't want him to just be my Savior. I want him to be my Lord and my Master. Is that you? Is that you in this building? Do you know him as your Savior? If you were to die right now, do you know him? Because if you don't, you're going to have to face a God that has as much wrath as he does love. And that wrath is not meant for you. But if you don't surrender your life to him today, that wrath will be experienced in an eternity of hell, eternal fire and brimstone and damnation. Do you know him? Do you know him? Ask yourself that question. Get deep, dig deep in this thing just for a minute. We're not going anywhere, just a second. I want, do you know him? You're the only one who can answer this question. It's not a bunch of boxes you check off. It is the only one box you have to check off. Have you asked him into your heart? Is he Lord and Master and Savior? That's the only box. It's not what you've done. Do you know him? Do you know him? If you don't know him, slip your hand up on this bench. I want to pray with you. If you don't know him, slip your hand up. If you don't know him, slip your hand up. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. If you don't know him and you didn't slip your hand up, I want you to make just this simple prayer with me. It's not a simple prayer, really. There's a lot of bloodshed over this prayer, but Heavenly Father, come into my heart. Wash me and make me clean. I want to live for you the rest of the days of my life. Lord, as long as there's breath in me, I want to live for you. I want you to be my Lord, my Savior, and my Master. And I'm going to serve you in Jesus' name. If you meant that prayer, you know you're saved. You're saved, and I want to talk to you, give you some information, some material. But one other thing we want to do, if you need prayer this morning, I know it's 12, but I know where the lunch is. You're going to be first one there. I want to do one other thing this morning. If you need prayer this morning for anything whatsoever, you need prayer for a situation, a healing, a stronghold. Maybe you didn't even say that prayer and you want to come up and we want to pray with you. If you want prayer for anything whatsoever, I want to pray with you. I need some prayer teams to start getting in place. And if you're going to be prayed for, I would like for you to stand somewhere here and come up a little bit. And people that are going to pray with you, stay behind them so we can differentiate who we're praying for. And I know some of you may have to slip out, and that's okay. Just do that quietly. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. If you need prayer, I want you to come in the front of these right in here if you need prayer. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Come on, we're going to pray. Bring my brother up here. Can I get y'all to move this way? We're going to bring a wheelchair right up here. That's good. Y'all can stay there and just come this way. So we just have some room right here. Come right here. Come right up here. Come on, brother. Parkinson, right here. Hallelujah. It doesn't matter what you need in your life. God is the need meter. Amen. Glory to God. I'm telling you, God is here today to minister to you, to help you, to break strongholds, to save you, to deliver you, to heal you, to set you free, whatever it is. God is able. God is able. Amen. So we're going to pray. I want you, if you're standing behind someone, I need some more prayer people. If I can get some more ladies right in here to help me pray, and some men, come right over here, right in here. Come on, Miss Beverly, do you mind coming up, Miss Beverly, and helping us over here? Somewhere in here, just hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus, now we're going to do this. The Bible tells us that we can anoint with oil, and we want to do that to some of you this morning. We're going to anoint with oil. The Bible tells us that we should call for the elders. If you're sick, if any among you sick, let them call for the elders of the church and anoint them and pray over them. And that the effectual fervent prayer of the righteous, it avails much. In other words, it has much power and authority. So we're going to pray. If you're here and you're in the sanctuary and you're in, will you just stretch your hands this way? There's power in corporate prayer. I believe that. So if you'll just begin to pray right now, I don't know all the situation, but we need a physical miracle is what we need. We need a miracle here today. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we need a miracle today. Your word says that signs and wonders will follow those that believe. Lord, we're believing, Lord, for a miracle here. Lord, we're believing that strength would come back to the body, to the muscles, the limbs, that in the brain waves, Lord, that every function of the brain that it's supposed to carry out, Lord, would do that as we speak, God. Lord, I pray in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, that you would heal this body. Lord, that you would heal this mind, that you would reverse the effects, Lord, of an accident, God. Lord, that you would begin the process right now, Lord, of reversing nerve endings, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Lord, we praise you and we worship you and we believe. Lord, our job is to pray and believe. And Lord, you do the work. And Lord, we're asking you to do that right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, let it be so. Lord, let it be so, God. We're looking for a miracle today, God. A miracle. A miracle. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus, for you and your friend. You are both. Amen. It's kind of the same situation. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. There's one thing about, come on, give him a hand clap of praise. I believe God has ministered to some people today. Keep following up on this. Keep a check on it. Amen. If it's physical, keep looking for those things. If it's emotions, look, or a mental healing, look, begin to walk in that. Change your thought process. Change how you what you talk about, how you talk. Amen. Bible says Proverbs 18, 20, and 21 says there's death and life in the power of the tongue. Amen. Hallelujah. One thing about here, I'm going to be first to eat today. Amen. Hey, I don't thank you for being patient with me, because the Holy Spirit was doing the same, but thank you for being reverent to the Holy Spirit while we pray for people. Amen. If all we do is come here to hurry up to get to somewhere else, then we're in trouble. Let's always take time to pray for those in need. Amen. Might be you next week. Might be me. Amen. Let's bless the food. They'll have an order out there already. How are we going to do it? Where's Mama Hen at? She already out there? Marsha's Mama Hen, if y'all was wondering. There's a pecking order out there, and you ain't it, okay? And she'll let you know what your order is somewhere back yonder. Amen? I love Miss Marsha. Hey, we want to say this. Tina, come on up here, babe. I won't have you pray at the end. No. We want to say from our family, thank y'all for being such an awesome group of people. We get to pastor and love on, and you love on us. And look, we couldn't do this without help of multiple people. There's like 40 people roughly that puts on Sunday morning that makes this happen, and we're just two. There's several, probably 20 on Wednesday, 20 or 30 on Wednesday nights that cook and clean and, man, so many things, teach. And thank y'all, because it's your church. We just happen to be chosen to help lead you along the way. But thank you for allowing us to lead you in some direction. Amen. Hopefully it's toward Christ. Amen. God bless you. Let me pray over the food. I'm going to bless you, and we're going to pray over the food. Father, we ask, Lord, that you'd bless the food that we're going to partake of in a few minutes. Lord, you'd bless the hands that prepared it. Lord, that it would be nourishment to our bodies, and our bodies to your service. In Jesus' name. Lord, we ask that your face would shine upon us, that we'd find favor with God and with man, that prosperity, job promotion, increases, raises would come our way, and Lord, that peace would blanket every rooftop, that when we lay down tonight or this evening, that sweet sleep would come to our spiritual souls and our physical bodies. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You sure you didn't want to say anything? Yeah. Amen. Let's head and go eat. Amen. God bless you.